O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O Lord, my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The first reading is from John chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from henceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But Jesus, the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Here endeth the reading. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to thee, O Lord. We sing our first hymn, the first five verses of number 172, O Sacred Head.
surrounded with thorns, thine only crown. Oh, sacred head, what glory, what bliss till now was thine. Yet though despised and gory, I joy to call thee mine. Men mock and taunt and jeer thee, thou noble countenance. O mighty world shall fear thee, and for thy glance. How art thou pale with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn? How doth thy visage languish, that once was bright as morn? Cheeks has vanished their color once so fair. From thy red lips is banished the splendor that was there. Grim death with cruel vigor hath robbed thee of thy life. Thus thou hast lost thy vigor, thy strength in this sad strife. My burden in thy passion, Lord, thou hast borne for me. For it was my transgression which brought this woe on thee. I cast me down before thee, breath were my rightful lot. Have mercy, I implore thee, Redeemer, spare me not. My shepherd, now receive me, my guardian, only thine. Blessings thou didst give me, O source of gifts divine. Thy lips have often filled me with words of truth and love. Thy spirit oft hath led me,
our second reading continues our gospel lesson, John chapter 19, beginning at verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, They shall look upon him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Here endeth the reading. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to thee, O Lord. We continue our main hymn of the day, number 172, singing verses 6 through 10. Here I will stand beside thee. From thee I will not part. Oh, Savior, do not chide me when breaks thy loving heart. When soul and body languish in death's full cruel grasp, then in thy deepest anguish, thee in mine arms I'll clasp. The joy can ne'er be spoken, above all joys beside, when in thy body broken, I thus with safety hide. O Lord of life, desiring thy glory now to see, beside thy cross expiring, I breathe my soul to thee. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow? Thy pity without end. Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for thee. My Savior, be thou near me when death is at my door. Then let thy presence cheer me, forsake me nevermore. When soul and body languish, oh, leave me not alone, but take away my anguish by virtue of thine own. Be thou my consolation, my shield when I must die. Remind me of thy passion when my last hour draws nigh. Mine eyes shall then behold thee, upon thy cross shall dwell. My heart by faith enfold thee, who dieth thus dies well. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the first things that you notice is, as we lead up to the crucifixion of Jesus, over and over we hear the term,
King of the Jews, King of the Jews, King of the Jews. And then finally, when the Lord Jesus is crucified, Pilate has a sign that is placed over him, and it says, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And our Bibles tell us that that sign was written in Hebrew and in Greek and in Latin. What are we being shown here? Now, we don't know what was motivating Pilate. Probably spite for the Jews who had outmaneuvered him in getting him to do their bidding. So he could have been motivated by spite. But remember that everything that happens in the suffering, death of Jesus is according to God's plan. And there is nothing accidental and there is nothing happenstance. God wanted the title above his beloved son to say, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now, we have to remember that the term King of the Jews was Pilate's way of saying the Messiah, the Christ. Now, why is this important? Because we are to know that it is Jesus Christ crucified who is our eternal salvation and our eternal life. This is why St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2, when speaking about the gospel, he says this: the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So on the cross, we see God in this great weakness, but it is a weakness that is stronger than men, because the weakness of God in Christ crucified is the redemption, the atonement, the salvation for every sinner. Paul, again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, says these words, beginning at verse 1. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see that? That, my friends, is the center of the gospel. And that is what is pictured for us here in our passion narrative today, when Jesus is crucified and Pilate places a title over him, Jesus
of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, and he puts it in every language of the Mediterranean world so that it is a message for all people, for Jews and for Greeks and for Romans and for everyone. Our salvation, full, free, and complete, is in Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now, the second thing that I'd like to point out in our text today is Jesus' obedience to his Father for our redemption. You remember previously we talked about Jesus' willingness and eagerness to drink from the cup that the Father had ordained for him to drink on our behalf, the cup of God's wrath. And he said, if this cup cannot pass from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And so the obedience of Christ is highlighted here. Now, when we think of Christ's obedience, we have to think of his obedience for our salvation under two headings. Number one, his active obedience for our redemption. And number two, his passive obedience for our redemption. His active obedience for our redemption is seen in his complete and full obedience to God's holy law. Not for himself. Christ did not need to come down from heaven to live on earth to prove to himself that he could keep the law. He kept the law perfectly in our stead, in our place, and his active obedience is credited to those who believe in him. So the first part of Christ's obedience is his active obedience. And in our text, this is shown when it says that he said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son," referring to John. And then he said to the disciple, "Behold thy mother," referring to Mary. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. You see, what Jesus was doing here was perfectly keeping the fourth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. And since Jesus was Mary's only son, she would be left desolate without him. And so he commends her to the care of the beloved disciple, John. And from that hour, John took Mary into his own home, and Jesus perfectly obeyed the fourth commandment on our behalf. The rest of his suffering and his death is what we call his passive obedience, where he permitted himself to be despised, to be rejected, to suffer and be crucified, to experience the agony of the cross and the death of the cross, and to be buried. This is his passive obedience, in which he, as a once and for all atoning sacrifice, paid in full for our sin, so that whatever happens to us in this life, come what may, we have been made the forgiven, accepted, beloved children of God. And we can say with full confidence, because Christ has paid in full for our sins, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. The third thing I'd like to speak about briefly today is the Lamb of God. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So says St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now, there are a number of verses we need to read here. One from Exodus chapter 12, verse 46, talking about the eating of the Passover lamb. It says, in one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. So the Passover lamb had attached to it this command of God, you are not to break a bone of it. In the book of Numbers, chapter 9, Numbers chapter 9, verse 12, once again, speaking of the eating of the Passover lamb, they shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it, according to all the ordinance of the Passover, they shall keep it. Now, that seems like a minor and unimportant detail until we remember that in the first chapter of John's Gospel, John the Baptist proclaimed, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And here in our gospel lesson, because nighttime was drawing nigh, the Jews requested that the crucified would have their legs broken so that they could be taken down from the cross to hasten their deaths. And so the soldiers came with their big clubs and they broke the legs of the other two, which hastened their death. But it says that when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. Very interesting. And these things were done, St. John says, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. So there is a direct connection between the institution of the Passover and the eating of the Passover lamb, a bone of which was not to be broken in the whole process. And now we see why. Because Jesus, Christ our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And therefore, we can take heart that the once and for all atonement has been made and is paid for. But it doesn't leave it there. And by the way, Martin Luther quotes this in his wonderful Easter hymn, Christ Jesus Lay in Death's Strong Bands. He says, see, his blood doth mark our door. Faith points to it. Death passes over. And Satan cannot harm us. Hallelujah. Now, what Luther is referring to is the fact that when the Passover lamb was sacrificed, the Jews were to take the blood of the Passover lamb and they were to put it on the lintel on the two side posts of the door of the house that they ate the Passover in. So on every door of every house was the sign of the Holy Cross of Jesus. And so it is here we see this wonderful thing where Jesus is the fulfillment and realization of this wonderful Passover that has now become completed because the Lamb of God has taken away the sins of the world. Therefore, you and I and everyone who believes in Christ is forgiven. See, his blood doth mark our door, that is, the door of our hearts. Faith points to it, and death passes over. Satan cannot harm us. Hallelujah. The last thing I want to mention tonight is they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. A soldier came and pierced the side of Jesus just to make sure that he was dead. And St. John makes a big thing out of the fact that out of the dead body of Jesus came flowing blood and water. He doesn't mean that a slight trickle of dead man's blood and a slight trickle of water dribbled out of the wound. He means that blood and water flowed from Jesus' side. Now, there have been many interpretations of what this symbolizes, all right? John saw it as a sign that points to something. I was reading Luther earlier today, and Luther says that the blood flowing from Jesus' side represents the forgiveness of sins and the justification of sinners by means of the shed blood and death of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And the water represents the gift of the Holy Ghost, whom Christ has sent to us with all of his sanctifying work and power. And so, from the dead body of Jesus flows blood and water, signifying to us the forgiveness of all of our sins and the promised gift of the Holy Ghost to sanctify and strengthen us for service in the kingdom. So take heart this night. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Amen. Let my prayers be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we beseech thee graciously to behold this thy family, for which our Lord Jesus was contented to be betrayed and given up into the hands of wicked men and to suffer death upon the cross. Through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Merciful and everlasting God, who hast not spared thine only Son, but delivered him up for us all, that he might bear our sins upon the cross, grant that our hearts may be so fixed with steadfast faith in him that we may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that we, being defended by thee from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. We sing our closing hymn, number 166, Savior, When in Dust to Thee.
Life of want and tears,
by thy days of sore distress in the savage wilderness, by the dread mysterious hour of the insulting tempter's power. Turn, O turn a favoring eye, hear our solemn litany. By thine hour of dire despair, by thine agony of prayer, by the cross, the nail, the thorn, piercing spear and torturing scorn, by the gloom that veiled the skies, or the dreadful sacrifice, listen to our humble cry, hear our solemn litany. By thy deep expiring groan, by the sad sepulchral stone, by the vault whose dark abode held in vain the rising God, oh, from earth to heaven restored, mighty reascended Lord, listen, listen to the cry of our solemn lips.